Hey, this is our final week, as this has been such an important series for us, not just as a church. This is an important series for us as individuals. I hope that it's speaking to you. It is so important that we understand why we do what we do, because your actions are important. And your actions are a byproduct of three different things that we've been talking about, whether it's your family, your marriage, or whether it's your life here as in this church and how you belong to this church. It's reflective of what we believe to be true. When you look at your actions in your life, your actions are defined by usually three different things. And the first one that we've talked about is this, the standard that we choose to live by. All of us have a standard that we live by. Some of us might be what our family's opinion is. Some of us might be what the culture says. Some of it might be about us. There's a lot of people that live by their own moral compass. They are the ones that decide what is right and wrong. And that standard that we choose to live by is that moral compass. It's a code of ethics. And the reason that that is so important is because your standard, whatever it might be, gives you permission to act as you do. Your standard tells you that what you are doing is either okay or it's not okay. And so, like, if you don't have a good marriage, that runs off of a standard that you choose to live by. And the standard is, hey, you know what? I can act however I want to act. I can do whatever I want to do. And I can repay evil for evil. If my spouse does something that I don't like, then I can repay them back. That becomes our moral code. It becomes a standard. It gives you permission to act as you do. As a Christian, what we say is every Christ follower, your standard, your moral compass is the Bible. It is Christ himself. He calls us to a standard. And so that defines our actions. Another thing that defines our action is the vision that you choose to live out. Why do you exist? Why did God create you and put you here in this world? What did he create you and put you in this world to do? Take it a step further. In your family, why do you exist in your family? To be served or to serve them? Do you just exist to get? See, the reason that a vision is so important is because a vision gives us a purpose to live out. And in this idea, you know, as a church, our vision is creatively love and lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus. That is essential. That's the core of why we're here. It determines why we exist. Another thing that defines our action is this, the values that we choose to live with. All of us have values. And our values are principles that establish priorities for our behavior. So you could say this. You could say, you know what? Love, I value love in my relationships. And if you say you value love, then that means that love is the priority in every relationship. See, we all have these things. And these values are priorities that we have to have in our lives. All of us. You have a standard. You have a vision. And you have values that we choose to live with. And it's so important that we understand the motivation behind why we do what we do. And here's the thing. If we don't understand why we do what we do, we talked about this at the very first week, but as we end it, I want to remind us. If we don't understand why we do what we do as a church, as individuals belonging to the church, then what happens is this. In time, we'll become preoccupied with what's unimportant. If we don't understand why we do what we do, then we're disconnected from what is important and we will do what is unimportant. We talked about that because some of the things that we've seen in our behavior as a church is we come late and leave early because we're disconnected from what's important. Or we'd rather hang out in the courtyard and talk to people than come in and encounter God and worship. See, in time, we'll just become preoccupied with something else. If we don't understand why we do what we do, in time, we will become a distraction to others. That's important to get because your life, whether you believe it or not, you are an example to somebody. People are watching you. And what they're doing is your behavior models to them what is acceptable because they may not know what's acceptable. So what happens is we'll talk with people. We'll come into the gathering during worship and we'll talk to each other and create a distraction, and then that becomes an example for other people. So what happens is during worship, people are talking to each other rather than talking to God, and we missed it. See, we don't participate in what's important. What happens, our example for others becomes an example of our personal preferences rather than what our standard and our vision and our values call us to. So you understand why this is so important that we get it. It's not just like a, it's not just a series. This is something that at the core of us, it's got to, it defines, we've got to discover our behavior patterns and why that's so important. And you know what? I mean, it's not calling us to perfection because nobody's perfect, but it does call us to modify our behavior according to what the standard and the vision and our values call us to. So here's the last value that we're going to look at. If you miss any of these, you can go online, you can listen to them. I encourage you to do that because this is something that if you belong to this church or if you're thinking about belonging to this church, this is something you need to know. You need to know why it's so important. So the last value is this. You have been gifted for the benefit of others. Every single one of us that are in this room, it doesn't matter who you are, if you enter into a relationship with Jesus, you have been gifted with spiritual gifts. But beyond spiritual gifts, you have been given gifts and talents, abilities. And those talents and those abilities have been given to you for the purpose of benefiting others. Now, and here's the deal. If we don't understand this principle, if we don't understand this value, okay, what happens is we will become isolated and our gifts and talents will be used primarily to benefit ourselves and not the people around us. I want to repeat that because it's important to get this. You can say, you can go like this. You can go, man, I agree. You know, all of us have been given gifts. All of us have been given talents, but it doesn't matter how I use them. Yes, it does. At least the Bible says it does. If you don't believe that it does, then what happens is you will become isolated because you will not function the way those gifts are designed to be functioning. And that's with others. Not only that, but you will use those gifts primarily to benefit you and not other people. So here's a scripture. It says this, my friends, you were chosen to be free, all of us. In Christ, we were chosen to be free. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do what anything you want. Use it as an opportunity to serve each other with love. Okay, the freedom that God has given to you is freedom from a selfish life. It's freedom from death. It's freedom from the destruction of a self-centered life that is only thinking about itself, that might occasionally think of others, but primarily is self-absorbed. That's what we've been called to be free from. In fact, it says use that freedom that you've been called, not to serve yourself, but to serve people. The reason this is important is those of us that want to be like Jesus, if you choose to be a Christ follower, then this should be your goal. That's the standard, right? That's what the Bible tells us. And those of us that want to be like Jesus, serve others. That's important. That's what Jesus said about himself in Mark 10. He said, even the Son of Man himself came not to be served, which, think about it, God comes in the flesh to live among his creation. And he says, I did not come to be served by you. I came to serve you. Think about that. That is profound. That's where we get our lead. That's where we get our example, is from how Jesus lived. So our nature naturally calls us to serve ourselves, and Jesus calls us to serve others. God's blessed us with talents and abilities, and he's given us these gifts for a purpose. And 1 Peter 4:10 tells us that each of you have received a gift to use to serve others. So be good servants of God's various gifts of grace. Each of you, not some of you, not those who just think you're qualified, everyone has been given gifts. And those gifts are to be used to serve others. So these talents and abilities that God gives us are not just for us. They're designed to build up and to bless other people. Throughout scriptures, God has given us many examples of what it means to belong to one another. And we have to understand belonging. If we're ever going to use our gifts to serve others and to benefit others, then we have to understand where that comes from. It's from a place of belonging, all right? And so we've got to understand we can't be and we can't give if we don't belong. So we're going to look at this for just a second. These examples, what they do is they help us to understand and embrace who we are and what we've been called to do. So why is belonging to each other so important? Because first of all, you belong to God's family. Every single one. When you come into a relationship with Jesus, you belong to God's family. You are brought into God's family and you are called, is what the scripture says. What God says about you is you are called sons and daughters. That our Father, our Heavenly Father, is in fact our Father. You know it from the Lord's Prayer throughout the scriptures. But the truth is, we have to understand, you and I have been brought into a family. But the truth is, while we were created for this family, we also have to choose to belong to this family. You have to choose to belong, because you know what? You can say, hey, I'm a part of the family of God at large, but I am not a part of any local. That's a popular theology that you find nowhere in Scripture. I can belong to the population of the family of God worldwide, but I do not belong to a local body, and that's wrong. So we have to understand we belong to this family. And we were created to care for others in this family. And the reason why this is so important is every family member has a responsibility to care for the others. If you belong to a family, you have a responsibility to care for others. If you don't care for the others, then you're not really tied into the family. You're just using the family structure again to benefit yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't need to give any kind of examples. You know, I mean, we try to teach our kids this. You belong to this family, you contribute, right? You don't just come here and live here for free. Everybody contributes, everybody plays a part. It's the same with the family of God. We learn this kind of environment that we have a responsibility to care for others. Ephesians 2:19 says that you are members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. And it doesn't say that church is like a family. It says that church is a family. It's a spiritual family. In fact, your spiritual family is going to outlast your biological family. So we belong in this family because we are Christ followers. And as Christ followers, we have been brought into this family. But the problem is, without a church family, we are orphans. If we're not tied in to belong to this church family, then we're like orphans, because we have no sense of belonging to one another. Think about it. In this world, you can volunteer time and become a part. You can be a part of like a fraternity, which you are attached to for a long period of time. But in no other capacity is there the dependence upon one another like it is like God designed the church, that we would actually be dependent on one another. See, God doesn't want his children growing up in isolation or away from each other. He created us a spiritual family to belong to here on this earth. Also, belonging is important because you are a part of God's construction. This church, this building, is not the church. You are the church. You are a part of what God is building. God didn't build a church, a building. He builds you and I. And our strength is tied to those that we belong to, those that we are joined to. And your strength of what God is building depends on your commitment to each other. And the reason why that's important is a building is only as strong as its members. A building is only as strong as the people that are within the building, the people that make up the church. Here's what Ephesians 2:20 says. It says, you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Now I want you to hear this, because as you are a part of this church, what the Holy Spirit is doing is he is joining you and I to each other. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. It can be looked at as unity. But also what's involved is that God is joining us together because we make up the church. And there is no, you cannot have a strong church. The church is only as strong as each individual member. And you're built together to be this church. But when we're joined together, there has to be a commitment to one another. See, a board or a rock can't say, you know what, I don't want to be a part of this building, I think I'm going to leave. Once they are joined to the structure, they are a part of the stability and the strength of that structure. And if a board said, hey, you know what, I don't want to be attached to this anymore, it couldn't remove that, or you couldn't take a stone and the stone says, I don't want to be a part, because when you remove the stone, then all of a sudden the structure becomes weak. And that's exactly what happens with the church. You can't come and say, hey, this is where I attend, but I'm not committed, because if you're not committed, then you're not adding to the strength, and the church is weak. We are only as strong as we are committed to one another. And belonging is also important because you're a part of the body of Christ. It's another picture or example of what it means for us to belong together. Together, we make up the body of Christ. And the reason that's important is because a body is healthy only when every part is doing its part. Please hear that. Cynthia's going through a real sickness in her life. You guys know it, my wife, and I appreciate your prayers and all that. Doctors can't find out what's going on, but here's the problem. There's something in her body. There is a part of her body that's not functioning as it should. And when you have a part of the body that is not functioning as it should, then guess what? The whole body suffers and the whole body is weak. The whole body has to deal with it. And basically what you have is an unhealthy person because one part of the body doesn't function as it should. I mean, who would think that a thyroid is so important, right? You ever seen one? You don't get to show it off much. I'm here to tell you that your thyroid does a lot. Doesn't get the props that it deserves. Paul explains this about the body of Christ in Romans 12. He says, just as there are many parts of the body, so it is with Christ's body, and we are all parts of it. And it takes every one of us, again, every single one of us, to make it complete. For we each have different work to do, so we belong to each other, and each needs all the others. And as a Christian, you belong to the body of Christ. You have a part to play in the body of Christ. And God designed your life to belong and be committed to caring to the needs of all the other parts of the body. The other parts of the body of Christ, when you look at this church as the body of Christ, all of us are dependent on each other. So when one says, no, you know what, I'm okay. They're deciding they don't want to be a part of the body, and what happens is everybody else suffers because of that. And before you allow to think, hey, this is not something I really have to worry about, you have to understand that this is how God designed us. To act any differently is to really fight against God's design for your life. Belonging is God's design for you. The reason this is important to understand is this. Belonging carries a responsibility of serving and caring for others. Belonging. What God has called us all to, belonging to one another, carries a responsibility of serving and caring for others. Belonging makes us liable, if you would, to care for others. Not just to be treated the way we think they need to be treated, but to be treated the way they need to be treated. To be patient, to be long-suffering, to not make a judgment on another part of the body and think that the other part should act as I think it should act. It's that we are patient and we work together and we support and we build up and we love one another. And that's what we need. But a lot of times it's a lot more easier to say, you know what, I'll tell you what your problem is. We as a body make a diagnosis of the body. That doesn't bring strength. Belonging makes us liable. I want to go back to the scripture we read earlier. It says, each of you received a gift to use in service for others. Be good servants of God's various gifts of grace. And here's the deal. A servant serves. A good servant serves well. The scripture calls us to serve God well, to serve others well. And so this is an important first step for us, because we'll never have the heart of a servant if we're the priority. We'll never serve people well if our focus is on ourselves. If I make myself the priority, I'm not looking to the needs of other people. That's why this is really important for us. So if you're going to have a heart of a servant, if you're going to serve well as the scripture calls, as the standard calls us to, then we need to know the priorities of what a true servant looks like and the priorities of a servant's heart. And it kind of looks like this. A servant sees Jesus in everyone that they serve. They don't look at others with judgment. They don't look at others as, hey, I'm doing something. I'm getting a notch in my belt, or I'm helping somebody that is the worst of the worst. That's not what Jesus said. A servant looks at people and sees Jesus in everyone. It's a scripture that you know very well when Jesus talks about it in Matthew 25, where he says, hey, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, and I was naked and you clothed me, and I was hungry and you fed me. And they said, well, when do we see any of that? And they said, when you've done this to the least of these, you've done it unto me. That's how a servant sees people. They look at what they're doing as serving Jesus himself. Another one is a servant is focused on the needs of others. And when we talk about serving others, a lot of times we get overwhelmed. We don't really know what we should do. And I would say the simple answer is to find a need and meet it. Serving is a commitment to serve people's needs in such a way that shows Jesus rather than ourselves. And in today's world, there's a lot of people that fight their way for recognition, fight their way to the top. And even in church life, a lot of times people want to elevate themselves. They want to hide behind what they've done in the past. And so what they'll say are things like this: hey, I put my time in, now it's somebody else's turn. Sometimes we even look at different things that need to be done within the body and we go, you know what, that's beneath me. See, serving focuses our attention on the needs of others. Another priority is a servant puts service over status. It's not about our position. It's not about our title. In fact, what we do is we elevate others, not ourselves. Philippians 2 tells us this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And again, it's nothing about status. We're called to humility. Another priority of a servant would be this. And this is an important one, especially in our culture, and that is a servant puts caring over convenience. The priority in our world that we live in is convenience. You know that. You've experienced that. And yet we're called again to look to others, not ourselves. Look to what others need, not what you need. Look to what benefits others, not what benefits us. Romans 15 says, those of us who are strong, I love the scripture, those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter. And not just do what is most convenient for us. And I love this part, this scripture, or this, the way it's worded. Strength is for service, not status. So each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking, how can I help? And that's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles. Think about that. We don't want to get involved in the mess of people's lives. He didn't make it easy on himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. You see, caring is the action behind the love that we say we have for people. You say that you love people. If there's no caring, if there's no compassion, there's no substance. I'm convinced we'll never serve the needs of this church. We'll never serve the needs of the community that we live in if our convenience is more important than our caring. If our convenience is more important than our compassion. We want our hearts, or we want our lives, to display the heart of a servant. So what does that look like? First of all, what does the servant's heart look like that we need to evaluate and say, is this a part of my life? And the servant's heart looks like this: it's willing to do what seems insignificant. Because the truth is, there is nothing, there is no job, there is no task that is insignificant. But a lot of people don't feel that way. There's nothing insignificant about the love that we share. And no act is too small. There should be nothing that is beneath us. And there is nothing that is too petty for us to involve ourselves in. I would say it even this way. It's the little things that probably make the greatest impact. And I think we miss out on great impact because we view things as being insignificant. We also need to be willing to see people through the lens of love, not through judgment, not what we think they deserve, but through love. Because the truth is, again, we'll never care for those, nor will we have compassion for those that we look at with judgment. We have to care about the condition of others if we're ever going to help them in their condition. We have to be willing to step in and not look at the condition of others as something that we cannot soil ourselves with. We can't touch that. So that means this. I believe this is the last one on there. That means we'll be willing to get dirty and uncomfortable to bless others. I know that's not popular. That may not even be easy to hear. But the heart of a servant, the heart of what we are called to be good servants, is willing to get dirty and uncomfortable in order to benefit and bless other people. Because the truth is, that's what Jesus did for you. That's what Jesus did for me. It's being willing to enter into the mess of others' lives and to help them. I just want you to think about this, that the creator of this universe, the creator of all that exists that we know, that creator comes in the form of human. He comes in the form of being a human, not to be served by humans, but to serve us. Not only that, but he didn't just come to provide an example. He came to become the very sin that he hated so much. You talk about somebody willing to get dirty, willing to invest their lives into the mess of others. That's exactly what God did for you when he took on your sin and went to the cross for you. People's lives are messy. Walking with people in their mess is what love does. And if I could challenge you with something, please don't let the mess keep you from loving the people in the mess. Because the people that are in the mess need love, and they need somebody to come alongside, and they need to be served. When you enter the mess, you're going to get messy. Jesus entered your mess. He carried your sin. And that's what love does, is it's willing to get dirty. So we've got to look at others as Jesus looks at us. We got to love others as Jesus loves us, and we've got to serve others as Jesus has served us. This last part on your notes will go quickly, but I just want to make sure that we understand, and that not just understand, but accept and understand just how God designed each one of us. That God would, you would understand how God has designed you to function and to live, to move in, to be, how God has designed you to belong. 1 Corinthians, the message, I like how it sounds. It says it so plainly, and I just want to read it for you. It says, the way that God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, then every other part enters into the exuberance. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of that body does your part mean anything. See, our parts, the part of the body that you might be, it gets its meaning out of its availability. I go back to this and I just... Cynthia has a thyroid, but it doesn't function like it's supposed to. And it's almost better she doesn't have one than one that doesn't function like it's supposed to function. Because it makes her life miserable and my life miserable. And but that's what happens when one part says, hey, you know what? I don't need to function. Let me just cover quickly how God designed us. First of all, it's this. We all have to do our parts. You were designed to do your part. We all have a part to play. We all have a part to fill. That means that you're gifted and you have been given abilities and talents to be used in this church. And when you choose not to use your talents and your gifts in this church, then people in this church go unloved. People in this church go unserved. People in this church go uncared for because you don't play your part. In a church, every person plays a part. Everyone. Listen, I know that your human nature calls out and screams out, I don't want to belong. I want to be isolated. But you have to remember that God didn't call you to an isolated life. He called you to belong. And even though it's difficult, and I understand the tension, I do, I get it. I'm telling you, the best life that you could live, the life that God designed, is a life that is connected through belonging, where everybody plays its part. Another thing we've got to understand is this, that God designed you to belong with others, not isolate yourself, as I just mentioned. In other words, we do all we can to do life with people in this church. We do all we can to belong with those that God is joining us with. You understand that? God is joining us together as a church. And we choose to belong to that process. So what happens is this next one, that God designed you to commit yourself to others. Not just to see how little you can do, not just to see what you have to do to get by. Caring requires commitment. Compassion requires commitment. We have to choose to be all in, not just what conveniences us. We don't just choose to be a part of what we can do. That's not how God designed us. The last one, God designed you to make love your expression. So in other words, as the scripture says, if you see a brother or sister in need, and you have the means to do something about it, you have the gift, you have the talent, you have a commitment to a team or whatever, and you do nothing about it but turn your cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. And you made it disappear. We probably don't like to hear that. Here's the application of this, and here's kind of where the rubber meets the road for all of us in this. We have to make serving others our priority. We have to make serving others our priority. Look, you will go through life convinced that your personal preferences are okay and this is how you're supposed to live your life. But that's not the standard that God calls us to. The standard that the scripture calls us to is just what I've talked about, and it's a commitment to one another and make serving others our priority. When our human nature tells us and calls out and screams out, I don't want to care. I don't have time to care. The Spirit of God says, you can do nothing but care. Another part of this application, we make serving others our priority, and then we commit to a team and love the people that we serve. Listen, I want to encourage you. Serving is not something that we do just once in a while. You have to understand that people, we are committed to one another, so we serve. And if your talents and your abilities are working with kids, then get on a team with kids. If it's running sound, or if it's being a greeter, or if it's in a band, or whatever it might be, whatever your gifts are, use your gifts and plug in, but not just at a convenience. Say, look, I'm committed to belonging because as I use my gift, as I use my talents, other people are cared for and my life becomes about others and not myself. I'd like you to close your eyes just with me for a moment. I just want to encourage you and remind you, you'll never find purpose if God is not your standard. If God has not changed the vision of your life and the vision for your life, you'll never have purpose in life. Your purpose will be about stuff. Your purpose will be about you, about what makes you feel good, about what you like. And that's not God's standard. I want to encourage you, if you're here and you have not made Jesus the center of your life, that is the very first step. And I want to encourage you to do that. To surrender what Jesus did on the cross, that he got himself dirty. He carried your sins because he was serving you. And it's in accepting what Jesus did that he brings us into the family of God. doesn't mean that you're perfect. It means that he begins his work in our life. If you want that, all you have to do is tell God, I want that. I want Christ to be the center. I want Christ to be the purpose of my life. I want Christ to be the standard of my life. And I commit myself to that and I surrender myself to that. He hears your prayers. Do say that. And if you're here and maybe you have not implemented or committed your gifts to the church, to the body, if you've not committed them to your place of belonging, I want to encourage you to make that decision today as well. It's how God designed you. It's why we do. If you want a life of purpose, if you want a life that is selfless, then understand this value, and that is God has given you gifts for the benefit of others, not just you. And if you're not using them to benefit others in this setting, you're never going to experience, you're never going to understand why we do what we do. And you'll be prone and distracted to do something that is less important. Father, I come to you this morning. Father, I just lift up each person that's here, all of us, collectively and individually, collectively as a church you've called us to be. Father, individually, you've called us all to belong. And I ask that you would help us when our human nature cries out to isolate ourselves and stay away, your spirit within us calls us to belong to the work that you're doing of joining us together. So Father, I ask today that you would break down barriers, that you would break down stubbornness within ourselves. And Father, that you would help us commit ourselves to you and commit ourselves to one another. That we would use the gifts and the talents and the abilities that you've given to us for others. That we would surrender ourselves to belonging to your body, your family, your church. Thank you for each person that's here. I thank you for how you've gifted them, helped them, and help us all to step into that commitment today. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.